got today on the Cooligans, Christian Pulisic hurt his booty hole, and we talk about it on this show.
Not exactly the hole, but whatever. Alexis, not really.
You don't know. It's called a gluteal injury. It could be any part.
Alexis is not really great with anatomy right now. Anyway, also, we talked to Landon Donovan. Landon Donovan, tied goal scorer for the U.S. men's national team in their history. He joins us to talk about the upcoming World Cup. He's going to be calling games with Ian Dark. And we talk a little bit of coffee. And then also, El Clásico, Barcelona, Real Madrid. Barcelona wins the title again. And Real Madrid are in the dirt, are in the mud. They have to figure a lot of things out. So we talk about that, all that, and more today on the Cooligans.
The other day I farted while naked, and my wife right. was in the, I didn't realize right. my wife was in the room.
Was this the first date? Jeez.
I didn't realize my wife was sitting on the couch in the room. I thought she was in the other room.
Do you not care that you don't think that's like just a fairly gross thing to say? Like
to say,
and like you don't care that people
know that I fart?
No, that you fart, just you're farting on the furniture?
I wasn't sitting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. My wife was on the couch. I was walking by and I didn't realize she was still on the couch and I farted. And then I felt bad because usually there's like underwear and pants. You know what I mean?
It's a layer.
That filter it out. And she's basically smoking an unfiltered butt cigarette. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like secondhand smoke from a Humphrey Bogart. You know what I mean? Just a rolled up cigarette.
I just
felt terrible.
Everybody's imagining your wife being in the loveliest marriage possible.
Yeah. She's very happy. Maybe not this week, but most of the time, she's very happy. I just felt that. I normally wouldn't care about, past gas. It's normal, right? Mm-hmm. You fart in front of your lady, right?
I do not fart in front of my lady.
What do you do if you have to fart?
You go to the bathroom.
You go to the bathroom to fart?
If I'm worried about farting in front of anybody.
Hold on, I've never
farted in front of you, Alexis.
But yes. We used to share rooms, remember?
And I farted in front
100%.
Of you.
100%. And bro, let me tell you something. I used to think Doritos made you
sure, okay.
Eating healthy also has the same effect.
Right. I'm not saying it out of a shame.
I my pants in front of you. Not on purpose.
I don't want you to do that.
No,
I wish you did.
I also wish I had not. I love those sweatpants.
I am very what's tattooed on my like me as a person is my dad would fart in front of my mom, and my mom used to be so disgusted by it. And
he laugh or he just didn't care?
He didn't care. No,
he didn't think of it as a joke.
He just did it or whatever. And my mom was always disgusted by it. So I completely internalized that.
But just walk me through the scenario. You're sitting on the couch. Your kid and your wife are in the room. You have to fart.
Really. Like
this is one of the you're about to say one of the crazy.
Desperately need to fart. Like
you
I'm
have
not
a fart that you want to fart.
What
do you do? What do? You get
if
up.
If I need to fart, I probably need to use the bathroom. So
what if you don't? What if it's just a little gas? Maybe you have broccoli. You're a big broccoli or kale. You know what I mean?
If I'm with people, I will and I
just,
need to
just
fart.
Just your wife
I,
and your
I will
kid
not,
are
no,
in
I
the
will
room.
Not. I will.
Okay,
not.
So you get up and you go to the bathroom.
Yes.
And you close the door.
No, I wide open. Open all the windows.
Listen,
I put a bullhorn on my asshole.
Listen. I don't know what you do. What? I'm really just trying to paint a picture for myself because I'm confused by this. You go to the bathroom, you close the door, and then you just fart.
I sit down on the toilet and
to
use
fart?
The toilet.
But what if you don't have to? What if you don't have to poo? You've never farted without having to poo?
Of course I fart, but I don't do it in front of people.
But that's what I'm saying. If you fart in the bathroom without pooing, would you wait like 10 seconds? What do you do? Or do you just fart, close the door, fart, open the door, and walk back out?
Sure, I do that.
I'm asking. No, I'm serious. Yeah. There's no joke here. I'm really interested.
Yes, I mean, there's rarely a... Oh, I could go into another room. I can go outside. But I don't also... I don't fart like the. I don't fart like that. I can't even do that on purpose.
You don't make a sound?
I do not make a sound.
You just silent but just deadly?
No, it's not deadly either. All right,
well,
okay,
you
I
don't
well.
Know that. I think, well, no, that doesn't necessarily change the deadliness. I think
I don't
a lot
fart
of,
naked, I'll tell you that much.
I did, and let me tell you something, it made a sound. Yeah, dog, you gotta fart in front of each other, bro.
No, she has asked me to fart in front of her. I'm like, it's not me. I'm not that guy. Not that guy. It's not, and I'm not necessarily.
You've literally seen her have a child, and you won't fart in front of her. Correct. You stared down the barrel as a child's head came out of that thing, and you still won't fart.
I wasn't staring down the barrel. You didn't. Yes.
You stayed at the top.
You stand next to your wife. You're not one of the doctors.
Doctor sometimes says,
"Well,
like,
what am I going to do down there?
I don't know." Look, your perspective, bro.
You hold her hand. You support. You encourage. What am I going to do? She's not going to be happy me staring down there.
I'd be staring down the barrel with some Meta glasses on. You feel me? Getting some 9x16s.
My wife would. I think she would like it if we farted in front of each other. But I'm also.
What an emotional barrier you've built.
Blame my mom.
Yeah,
my mom was disgusted by it. So I'm like, that's bad. You don't fart in front of people.
Yeah, but you're an adult now. You know what I mean? My mother was disgusted by people running in the supermarket.
Have you healed every childhood trauma you have? Is that what you're saying?
I like to think I have none. I like to think I'm good.
Your therapist doesn't agree.
my therapist high-fived me and said, you good. Also, maybe you shouldn't have a therapist that's also a deli guy. But that's for another conversation.
Sure. So, I mean, I have no interest in it.
I just picture you like you're hiding cigarettes. Like you're in the bathroom. And then you just wait. You wait 30 seconds. Maybe you spray a little cologne on.
Sure,
you walk back out as if no one's going to know what you did.
They can know. I'm just not going to do it in front of anybody.
That's crazy.
Am I trying to brag about my farts?
That's crazy.
I remember
it's human nature.
I'm not saying it isn't.
What about burping? Do you go in the other room to burp?
I'm also not a burper.
But you can't not burp, though. You're dying on the inside.
I mean, I burp very quiet. I can't burp with, like, audible sound. I can't fart loudly.
You can't do that?
I literally cannot do that.
On demand, you can't burp?
I cannot. I cannot.
No, I think you just... Oh,
what? Right. If I could, I would. I can't. I literally cannot.
Sometimes I feel like I'm doing this with the first Dominican Amish person. I'm doing this show. I've never heard of this.
Baron Vaughn, remember comedian Baron Vaughn? I think he lives in L.A. now. But I remember him doing a joke about this in his special. I was in L.A. watching him do his special at UCB. And he had a bit about, like, how he's just never... He didn't grow up around this, like... This culture of like farts and poop and like everybody thinking this is hilarious. He's just like always sort of grossed out by it and didn't grow up around it. And I'm like, I resonated with that.
If you don't think farting is funny, there's something wrong with you.
Don't tell that to my mom. Go tell that to my mom's face, bro.
Call her. Call her right now.
She was always so grossed out by it that I'm like, as a child, I remember being like, you can't fart in front of people.
Look at
how my mom reacted.
These are the chains of colonialism. The Europeans have taught us that being a natural human being is wrong, and I refuse to accept it.
Yeah, okay,
which is fair. If our producer Carter says he refused to fart in front of anyone besides his wife, which is fair.
He has a microphone. He could also say it into the microphone.
What you've done is you said, the person I want to spend the rest of my life with, I'm going to bring you into my everything. That's what you and I have
my
done.
Grossest.
Ingrid farts in front of all of us. And you, Christian.
I'm sorry, I ain't losing my small.
Right? You literally could die. You could die. People legitimately have died from not farting.
My life is not worth farting.
And guess what? I'm going to have to say at your funeral, bro. I'm going to have to point at your wife and say you did the best you could, but he wouldn't fart in front of you. And now look what happened.
That's life, bro. Some people make it, you know, farting all day.
You're
some
like,
people,
I can quit when I want, but I refuse to quit.
I'm a distended stomach or whatever.
You're gonna be perfectly fine. You're gonna be pooping in a bag.
So I mean,
you're gonna be pooping in a bag.
I don't hold in my farts. I just don't fart.
Carter, we'll actually start the show soon. But Carter, can you Google? Is it bad to hold your farts in?
It is bad to hold your farts if somebody did that in this room. Yeah,
yeah, you're suggesting
that would be a bad thing to do.
You said you don't have to fart unless you have to poop, which means you've trained yourself to hold it.
No, it's not true.
Just the gas.
Incorrect.
Gas is not
dangerous, but it's not recommended.
Okay,
right.
She said it's. I'm sorry. Ingrid said it's technically not dangerous, but not recommended because it causes what?
You can have discomfort.
Abdominal distress.
Bloating, cramping,
and a lack of emotional attachment with your significant other. I may have added that last part.
Yeah.
I may have added that last part.
Yeah, I would
go to my website real quick, see what it says about that.
We gotta ask Dee if she feels fantastic with watching you fart naked in front of her.
Okay, the naked part, might I add, is a new wrinkle in a relationship that may not continue. But what I will say is her advice to a lot of the women around her, because this is also apparently also a Dominican thing. A lot of her Dominican friends refuse to fart or even poop in the presence of their significant other, which this causes a lot of issues. And this is a long-held, almost anti-woman thing. Women were told that they shouldn't do these things. I'm not saying that's what you're doing. But a lot of times women were taught, especially Latin women, were taught that they shouldn't do these things because then they won't be perceived as sort of
ladylike.
And then this, anything couldn't be worse. This is stupid. If my wife has a stomach problem and she has to go to the bathroom, I said, baby girl, get in and handle your business. Keep the door open in case you need to talk to me. Mm. I could care less. The only thing my wife and I don't do in front of each other is wipe. That's, to me, a little bit beyond. That's a step too far.
Okay, yeah, that's the line.
Yeah, but farting, I say, yo, just don't point it at me. You know what I mean? Don't shoot it in my direction, and we good. You know?
Okay, well, lovely. Okay, best of luck.
And I hope you get to the point in your relationship where I am at mine, and you just in front of your family. You know?
We got enough. We got a toddler. Farting,
yeah.
And
see what I'm saying?
Getting up poop and all
you
that stuff.
Are you going to make him feel bad about it now?
I don't.
Are you going to carry this trauma into the next generation?
I will just not fart in front of him.
All right, he's going to see that. He's going to be like, yo, my pops just had a very silent butt.
His mom can fart of him in front of him all she wants.
Beautiful. Well, by the way, shouts to the moms. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day. That's really what we were getting to, everybody.
This is our way of saying, thank you, Ma, for farting in front of me and not making me live like this.
Nope.
Hiding in the bathroom like I got a bottle of vodka hidden behind the toilet.
And my mom's never farted in front of me, so, she's maintained that
Now's
streak.
The time. Now's the time. Go to her apartment, so feed her some broccoli.
To all the farting moms out there.
Squeeze your stomach.
Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody.
Hey.
We got a hot one today. We got an incredibly special guest today. We're going to be joined a little bit later by the one and only the Thai goal scorer for the U.S. men's national team in history. The one and only Landon Donovan will be joining us in a little bit to talk a bunch of stuff after USMNT, his
Landon
podcast.
Landon Donovan on our show.
I mean, he's, but this time with the hair.
Yeah. And guess what? We talk about it. He doesn't respond, but we talk about
it. We got to ask him about it.
Did I bring up the word taxidermy? I might have. I might have.
Also, today we got to start with, obviously, with Christian Pulisic, the news that he is injured. And we got to talk a little bit La Liga because Barcelona are now the champion, the second time in a row, the champions of La Liga. But first, let's start with Captain America himself, Christian Pulisic. Christian Pulisic is out with a gluteal injury. The World Cup is 30 days away. We can't have Captain America missing the World Cup with a broken booty. How serious is this? And can this team survive without a healthy Pulisic?
This is the top topic.
This is literally the worst case scenario if you're Christian Pulisic. You know what I mean? I don't know a lot about gluteal injuries.
Mm.
How long are you out? You know what I mean? Is it each cheek? Is it just one?
Right,
there's a lot
right.
of questions we have.
Which glute?
Which glute?
Is it your kicking?
Is it both of them in the uniform?
Is it your kicking glute?
Oh, my God. Please have it be the off glute. But truthfully, I think any time, any nation going into the World Cup where you're, maybe he's not the captain, but you're legitimately your best player is one, not in great form, and two, now injured. This is worst case scenario for Mauricio Pochettino. This is worst case scenario for the U.S. men's national team, the fans, and for Christian Pulisic, who I'm sure wants to shine in a World Cup on American soil.
Christian Pulisic has been injured a fair amount the last few months. The last goal he scored was on December 28th for AC Milan. He has not scored in 2020.
One more time, December 8th?
December 28th.
28th.
Okay.
Jeez.
So he hasn't scored in 2026. Mm-hmm. He's on admittedly a slump. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, I wouldn't want him to be injured. I think the USMNT are better with him there. But when you look at the performances of the national team
in the games that he missed in the fall window. I forgot what November I think it was. They played well. It was against Paraguay and Uruguay. It was a lot of, like, you know, McKennie wasn't there. There were a lot of players, like the regular starters missing, and they played pretty well. And you would think is all I'm saying is that it is, if he did miss the World Cup, it would be a disaster, like from a marketing standpoint. Have you seen the commercial, the Fox, yeah. The World Cup commercial?
How's he going to score an Olympic goal in the World Cup final?
Against Brazil, right? Yeah. I from a marketing standpoint, I think U.S. soccer would be like, this hurts us quite a bit.
Yeah.
But I think for results on the pitch, I don't think it's devastating.
I do, only because the hope is that regardless of his form with AC Milan, regardless of the overwhelming amount of pressure and maybe lowered expectations that maybe the fans have now as well because of how badly they've played in the last few friendlies, or at least this disconnected they felt, the hope is that when the World Cup starts, he turns it on. And that's kind of what any major...
We just hope and pray. Of course.
But like, truthfully, any star kind of needs to do that, right? If you are as good as we all hope you are, then you have to turn it on when the World Cup starts. So to lose that opportunity, it's like, yeah, we could sit here and say, like, he's out of form, he's this and that. But something needs to click when the World Cup starts, and then we're going to lose that opportunity.
This is Max Brados, the homie. He had posted this. He said, AC Milan season is collapsing as is Pulisic's form. They just lost, I think, 3-1 or 3-2 to Genoa.
They need to get into that Champions League spot financially.
So he says, I am all for putting him in bubble wrap. Would rather he be playing, but singular focus right now is World Cup. Help us. I from a selfish perspective, and for USMNT, as a USMNT fan, I honestly wish he could get his like goal before the World Cup and like just trigger that a little bit of that confidence, like get out of that slump beforehand.
Right.
I'm worried about him potentially getting out of the slump in the World Cup. I think it might take a little bit longer. So I don't necessarily agree with Max here. So there's a possibility he might play the last game of the season. I'd seen that reported by Jeff Carlisle on ESPN. So if that's the case, I do that. I don't put him in bubble wrap. He's had plenty of time off. I think he's fairly rested and relaxed. I mean, the muscle injuries, maybe it's not that serious where it's like, can you play through it? Can you just give me something?
Yeah, I mean, can you play through a gluteal injury through a World Cup? Is it one of those things where you need to rest? I mean, your glutes are there's no muscle that's not important, but like if you hurt your pinky, but like I think you could make it.
Right.
But hurting your glute, that means that your running is off, your passing is off, your pace is off, your shooting is off. And also if that's uncomfortable, I mean, that could be really torturous to a game where you run for 6 miles.
Don't know. I mean, but I look at players like Luis Suarez who gets a goddamn 8-foot needle put into his knee. You would think like for a World Cup, maybe he could.
This is Larry Henry Jr. saying Christian Pulisic, Johnny Cardoso, Tim Way, and Tanner Tessman all missing weekend matches or injury. Tessman's actually already out for the rest of the season. This is a rough patch to be in because those are pretty important names that you mentioned there. Johnny Cardoso hasn't really done it in a national team shirt yet, but he's had a really good second half of the season without that.
Yeah, Cardoso, I believe, I don't think he's making the World Cup because his injury is a high ankle sprain, and it usually takes about 2 months for that to...
They said 4 to 6 weeks, which put him in...
Which would be generous. I mean, again, I'm not going to say that he shouldn't be on the team. I think he's good enough to be there.
I can see him being left off the roster, being like, hey, you're not going to be back. These are always midway through.
Every World Cup, and I think we experienced this since we've been doing the show. Like, you know, the last few weeks, we've had the privilege of having several of the USMNT players. Weston's been on.
Yeah.
Tim Ream was just on.
Right.
And every time, Tyler Adams as well.
There's some other ones you'll hear.
Some other ones. But every time we have someone like until the roster is released on May 26th, the players that we're talking to, even though they've played every single game, there's no guarantee that they will be on the World Cup roster, but then also they could also get injured. Like, so you have about four to eight games or something like that from like, you know, from one international break to the next. It's like eight or something like that, so once you're done with that international break and you're like trying to make that World Cup roster, you got to do everything possible to try to Win the league for your team.
Or keep your team in Champions keep your League team like Pulisic.
Right, keep your team in Champions
or
League.
Or not get relegated.
Not get relegated. Yeah. There's so many like important, unless you're an MLS. Right. MLS is like, it's just the start of the season.
Hey, don't worry about it.
But there's so much pressure on you that your club is demanding. Mm-hmm. And you're like, but I also want to go to the World Cup. Like, look at what James is doing, right? Yeah. James is just like, hey, yo, I'm here as solely as a visitor. Yeah. Think of me as a trialist.
He's like, when Kaká walks by a pickup game.
Right, right, right.
You know what I mean? He's like, man, I'll walk in for a little bit.
Okay, I think I still got something in me.
Let me pass it around with these young lads. That's kind of what James is doing, which to me, it's like, I'm fully aware that when it comes to the sport of football, we as Americans view the national team as the most important thing. That's not always matched. Like in England, they don't always match that energy. For them, the club game overwhelmingly seems to be more important. Right. Obviously, individuals will have different ways of looking at it. For us, I'm like, I can understand why this is the first time we've really had to be like, he's got to play for his club team. Milan getting into the Champions League is as important to those fans as us in a World Cup where he's not going to be scoring an Olympico against Brazil in the final. You know what I mean? We're just hoping we do really well.
Right, yeah.
So I can understand the pressure that this man is under.
Yeah, it's a difficult situation. Look, we're obviously hoping for the best. But play. If you can play.
Yeah.
Play for your club team. Unless the injury is just really that severe. But just even the fact that they're hinting that he could play in the last game, I'm like, I powered through, bro. I mean, it's not even about telling somebody.
Time to take a shot, dog. You know what I mean? Take one of them weird-ass horse
like, yo, you're on the cover
shot
of Time Magazine, yeah, dog. Like, you can't miss this one, and you got to have a good World Cup. Like, it has to be the look, I'm not saying risk severe injury, but like.
Of course not. If he's able to play in that last game, and that means that he scores a goal or gets an assist that keeps Milan in Champions League. What a great vibe to go into the World Cup with. You know what I mean? Also, we got to have the conversation. He's hurt his pubis before, and now he hurt his butt, his booty.
Wait, no. Pulisic didn't hurt his pubis.
He broke his dick. Remember? I don't know what happened. I don't know.
That was because he got, what was it? He got kicked or the ball? What happened? The ball hit him?
I think he scored with his dick and he broke it.
Yeah, I forgot. It was in the last
what a conversation to have while his Time Magazine is up. what you would call it? To me, if you've heard that before and now you're, what's happening in that whole room, bro? I got to get better boxer briefs.
I mean, this is, what you call it? Like, just, you know, him on the cover of Time. Obviously, the World Cup coming around. Like, there's everything. The way the World Cup is being marketed from a U.S. perspective, the commercial, cover of Time magazine. Like, for us, like, again, it's not for us, right? Because I think the people who are fans of this show, people who are, like, addicted to this game.
Or Europeans who get a chance, who saw it online. They're like, what the hell?
Who is this?
Yeah. Well, how do you market to NFL fans? This is how you got to do it.
This is it. I mean, this is, it can seem a little trite. It can seem a little annoying. Yeah. But Pulisic is the face of U.S. soccer. Yeah. I mean, and whether you think he's good or not.
You get people who drive 4 hours to go see the Cincinnati Reds play the, you know, the same.
Another baseball team.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The other teams, the Cleveland Guardians. If that's who you are and you've never seen soccer before, this is how you got to market to them, bro. And this is how Fox is going to have to speak to them during the World Cup. It's going to be very rudimentary.
The commercial, though, was kind of like, I mean, inspiring in the, if I didn't know anything about the sport, I'd be like, yo, we're going to win this thing.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, should I watch?
It is a piece of, I mean, who's better at propaganda than Fox? I mean, let's not be crazy.
Of course. And the U.S.
They know what they're doing. Like they're combining those forces.
Take your talents and find a way to use it to benefit the U.S. during the World Cup.
And it was an entertaining commercial, even though, like, again, if I was 12 years old watching this, I'd be like, this is exciting. And that's like, there's always,
if that's your favorite player is Christian Pulisic and you're a kid and you're gonna go to your first World Cup game, that commercial,
right? He is going to be on commercials. Yeah. I mean, he's already on a fair amount of commercials now. He's on, like, I think a MasterCard one that always comes up there, I think, during, like, on Peacock and Premier League. Yeah, because there's a dog in the commercial, and my dog always barks at the dog in the commercial. Maybe he's barking at Christian. I don't know.
Right? Maybe he knew the gluteal injury in the commercial.
Like, yeah, I got gluteal injury.
He better have a good World Cup. Also, Jogo Bonito is my favorite World Cup commercial of all time, where they're playing, you know, footy in the airport.
Right.
That also didn't happen. You know what I mean? Yeah. Homeland Security would have been like, could you stop? Is that possible?
Yeah, yeah. You wouldn't get a ball.
All of you are arrested.
You're getting the ball would be intercepted by an ICE agent.
Yeah, 100%. It gets deported.
But you know what? And speaking of all these ad campaigns, we'll wrap up here. But the Joga Bonito was the iconic campaign. This World Cup around, this time around, they went with Joga Sinistro, like Sinister Play.
Ooh, okay.
That's the dark side of Joga Bonito. And I'll be honest. I mean, and credit, shout out to, you know, Jordan and Brazil. They invited me. They invited us. You couldn't go to the one I went to. But and it was like cool. It was a dope event.
That doesn't mean we can't be critical.
But the darkness around it wasn't as inspiring as Joga Bonito. Like it's like the positivity of the beauty of the game was like a much more fun ad campaign because it brought this like joy.
Well, this team don't do that.
So they're like, nah, we're the bad boys. The Joga bad boys now. And this is like, all right, slow it down a little bit.
Yeah, I kind of like it.
I see y'all do the little fun dances and stuff. It's not the same.
Well, they watch Richarlison highlights and they said there's something sinister.
I say go with the fun. And so that's why when this I think
team
of Brazilian
don't
people.
Don't Joga Bonito, though. You can't talk about that.
Yeah, we'll see how they
What's it going to be? Bruno Guimarães two-footing somebody?
Look, and how does Brazil feel in that commercial getting scored on in Olympico by Christian Pulisic? They were like, yo, why do we got to be? Who invited us here?
How are we losing in a commercial as well? This is ridiculous.
To the United States.
Yeah.
They have to be a little bit offended.
Well, if you were in Boston like we were, you would probably agree that that might happen. Legends only on this show.
He's back, baby.
Come on. We absolutely love him. We miss him dearly. So he's back on the show.
You know, but you know what? This time, came back with a new haircut.
Also, hairpiece. And also, an author, the one, the only, what's with the taxidermy on his head? We'll ask him about it. Landon Donovan, everybody.
Landon, what's up, man?
Good to see you. Hey, do you remember when we had pizza in that pizza place? Recently?
Yeah, dude. You met my wife. She had no idea who you were because she doesn't like soccer. But you were like, what do you mean you don't know who I am? And then you try to convince her you worked at the pizza shop.
I didn't know Landon was a prankster like this.
Landon loves to play little pranks. I go, by the way, we walked away. I go, he doesn't work there. He's the greatest American soccer player of all time. And she said, that's not Clint Dempsey. And I go, it's a long conversation.
whole thing.
Landon, we absolutely love you. You got a nice Nescafe kit on, better than the Mexico one you wore the last World Cup. talk to me about your collab with Nescafe. What's going on there?
Great people, amazing company. I grew up with Nescafe in my home. My mom drank it growing up. So this summer, as you know, we've got a lot of soccer. We're all going to be covering it a lot, and I'll be doing it with. Fueled by Nescafe, and the hope is that we're talking about the sport 24/7 for 104 matches over 39 days, and before the game, in between the game, after the games, we want people to keep having conversations and helping the sport grow. And I think the best way to do that is with Nescafe and keeping yourself energized. I'm gonna need it because you know me, guys. I have low energy normally, so it keeps me going, especially during the broadcast. Okay. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
No, a 48 team World Cup is going to keep it. I mean, we're also going to be quite busy. I think if you work in the soccer space and you're not busy, I don't think you should be working in the soccer space.
Yeah, correct. That's a good point. Technically, you aren't. Talk to me about what an espresso keg is, because I'll give you a little insight. I'm Cuban. Cuban coffee is a very large part of my culture. Mm. I've been drinking it since I was six. And espresso tends to be the base of a Cuban coffee. What exactly is a Nescafe espresso keg?
Can you see it in here? Is it in the shot? Here, I'm going to bring it in.
Yeah, that's what it is? Okay.
Okay, there
that's
it
cool
is.
That.
Oh, my God.
Cool. Yeah,
I need two of those.
It's basically a way to stay caffeinated all day, every day is what it is. These are cool. They're limited edition, and they're $10. You can't beat that. So they will be being released soon, and they're a lot of fun. It's just a way to keep people around, keep people talking about the game. You know, you have the game, first half, second half. This is a version of the third half where we can keep talking about and keep the conversation going. So it's great.
I love the fact that when you held it, because we're watching you on screen, and I thought it was like maybe a poster or something like that behind you. And then when you held it, I'm like, the thing is the size of your head. Bro.
Give me one with a lanyard.
Perfect.
The thing is gigantic.
Can I get one cute. I could wear?
You can put it on your head.
I love
yeah.
it. Landon, now leading into this World Cup, it's a little bit different for you, given like you have a popular podcast. I've been enjoying it. I loved your Emma Hayes interview recently that you did. I love the one you did with Don Garber. They were fantastic. But you're now in our space a little bit. Mm. Bro, you're encroaching on what we're doing. You're pissing people off on the internet. You're saying what you got to say. Leading into this World Cup, how much are you thinking about managing the podcast, doing the broadcast, like trying to stay impartial, but then also trying to give your perspective? How are you juggling all those things?
Yeah, it's a lot. I think wherever you are, you determine how you're going to approach it, right? So if I'm doing events or appearances, depending on the audience, you can be sort of more in the weeds or less in the weeds. On the broadcast, the interesting part on the broadcast is if you call a U.S. national team game and it's a qualifier, it's something that's more in the weeds, you can really speak in a way that is more nuanced that guys like you would understand or people who are really into the sport. But when you're calling it on Fox and there are 6, 8, 10, 12 million viewers who really don't know a ton about soccer, but they love sports, but they're watching because it's the U.S. national team, you sort of have to speak to them in a way that helps them understand the game while also not pissing off the people who are really, really into it. So there's a fine line I try to toe. I don't always get it right, but there's a lot of nuance there in trying to get it right.
All you got to do is say, we got to go to the sideline to Jameis Winston. Yeah. He knows why he's talking
that.
About it.
He's familiar. We're asking them to pick it up and throw it in the second half. You know?
No, we love
it. Run game is weak for the U.S. men's national
team. We were having this conversation before or this morning about, like, is it for us, like, soccer mm-hmm. sickos? I mean, like, is it annoying that Jameis Winston is on the broadcast? No, I mean, no. I'm like, I'm fine with it.
You understand the job Fox has to do, which is drawing NFL fans and fans of baseball and hockey. And
well, also, in the past, we've had different people like Ocho Cinco was on too. And mm-hmm. and there are ways not only to draw people in, but these are also, in their own ways, fans, right? And so they're going to see it through a Yates perspective. I think that's great.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, whatever Kevin Hart tells me to watch, I'll watch. So I'm on board. My question is, you are in a sort of precarious position, or really a bit of a unicorn position, in that Christian Pulisic was a young man when he first stepped on the scene, and there was a lot of hype around him, and now he's being thrust into that leadership role, and all the pressure is being put on him. I can't think of very many people, probably on one hand, that fit that mold exactly, and you are one of them, if not the ultimate sort of ideal of what that was, and what you went through was so unique, but now Christian's about to step in that role. What advice would you give Christian Pulisic about walking into a World Cup as the man for the U.S. men's national team, understanding it's also a little different that it's going to be here at home?
Well, it's much more difficult for Christian, and the main reason is social media exists, right? And we're also covering this way more than we did in 2010. So everything I experienced is exacerbated and exponentially more difficult for him. So I have a lot of compassion for him in that way. The best way for Crispin to handle that, to handle the pressure, is to perform. And he is an elite performer when he is at peace and at his best. And so the hope for all of us is that in the final few matches at Milan, at games leading up to the World Cup, that he finds his form again and comes in the World Cup confident, peace, happy, and playing well. And if he does that, he's going to be phenomenal.
Okay. And one or two other things. The Alexis mentioned that up top, you are
an author now. You wrote, you have your memoir. What's I've been seeing you promoting it on all the shows. You were in New York, plugging it and stuff. What is what's been the reaction so far? I mean, I know when you write a memoir, you write, you know, you talk about very vulnerable and sincere stories. You talked a lot about depression and everything that you've gone through. What's been the response that you've been surprised by or that you really enjoyed from the audience and, you know, reading it and how they're reacting to the stories in the book?
The comment I get almost always is, wow, I wasn't expecting them. And so I think a lot of people write books sort of a chronological timeline of life or their career. This is not, this is very about me as a, and the is a big part of that, but people are not expecting what they read. And I hope they like
it. Okay. I love it. No, man, it's, I love this, this story arc for Landon Donovan. It's been, you know, we've been lucky to know you for a long time, but getting to just hear more about how you became who you became is absolutely fascinating.
The last question I have for you is, I love the fact that now you're in the media space, you know, in a much more intimate and personal way than you have been in the past, in particular your podcast. And it seems like it gives you the opportunity to really talk your mind. You know what I mean? And sometimes you're saying some wild and crazy stuff there, Landon, especially when it comes to criticizing the national team or players of a different era. You really sort of get a feeling of like, wow, okay, Landon's being for real. How close is that to what you're writing in the group chats with your former players? Are we saying we're like, you're like 80% of what you're saying in, on podcast?
Yeah. I mean, we all care, right? You know, look, you see a clip here or there on Instagram without in sort of listening to the whole episode, it's going to come up very bad at them. But we are honest. Sim and I are honest, and we're not personal. I'm attack people personally. We're just telling what we see through our lens of experience. And I think that's why it's resonated with people. I'm not in the business of trying to hurt people or hurt their careers, or I'm trying to be in a respectful and compassionate way. I don't always get it. It's been refreshing actually for me to talk about the game honestly, and hope that it helped.
No, that's what I actually love about it, is that it's never personal. Whenever you're talking about it, you can tell it's coming from a place of a criticism about maybe sort of the game state or something going on. And it's for us as fans, it's wonderful to hear, because it's sometimes the feelings we have and we feel a little bit validated, being like, oh, okay, if Landon and I just shared an idea, it must be a good idea.
I also, selfishly, as an Everton fan, I just love hearing you and Tim talk, share Everton stories and all that behind the scenes stuff.
What was the one story I heard you guys saying, that they would throw water on you if you closed the door to the toilet?
Yeah.
Is that real? That was real?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We weren't allowed to do that. Right? I found out the hard way, fortunately.
You know, I keep the door open when I go to the bathroom at home, but it's not because I think my wife is going to, you know.
Maybe kept Tim Howard and Landon Donovan might rush in there. Landon Donovan, thank you so much for hanging out with us. It's going to be great. We'll probably be at some matches, so hopefully we'll bump into you. But best of luck. Are you working with Ian Dark this
yes,
summer?
Yes, sir.
Love nice. It. Great pair. Great pair. Love. Yeah, it's great to hear. Work with the guy that gave one of the greatest calls of yours, your career. Just an awesome pair. So
tell Nescafe to send us a couple espresso kegs.
We'll do espresso keg and pizza next time.
Let's go.
Done.
Okay.
All right, guys.
Landon, thanks so much, brother. Barcelona beat Real Madrid in El Clásico and clinched their second consecutive La Liga title. Real Madrid is trophyless. Their players are sending each other to the hospital. How does the biggest club in the world have no motion whatsoever?
They do have a little motion. It's just in the wrong direction. You
know what I mean? I think it's emotion.
Yeah. It seems to be motion towards the emergency room. But personally, for me, it just feels like looking at this Real Madrid, thinking about where we were at the beginning of the season, mm-hmm. Xabi Alonso decides to go to Real Madrid, probably the best young manager in the world at the moment. And they get Mbappe, everything, you know, Mbappe now another season in. But like Mbappe, now this is the season he's going to come into form. He's had a full year where he's had enough time with Vinny. And then all of a sudden, now it's the end of the season. They're trophyless. It's drama left and right. This is like a Real Housewives episode more than it is a club. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden they lose La Liga. I'm sorry, Barcelona wins La Liga by beating them, which has never happened before.
Right.
This is just levels of embarrassment that have reached. And now there's clearly a mole or someone leaking within the locker room because all the drama's out. Everything is getting in the newspapers.
Yeah, this is a even the goal that Rashford scored, which was fantastic. I don't know if you saw Rashford talk in the like post game. He weirdly speaks. He's starting to speak English like a guy who doesn't know English.
Oh, he's Spanglishing a little bit.
He's not Spanglishing, but he's like speaking with like this like politeness and shyness. Like he's afraid to say the wrong words. Okay. It's very fun. It's like, it's almost sweet, but it's like, how is this? How, like, is this a thing that can happen?
That just goes to show how traumatic Manchester United was right. for him. That his brain is forgotten. He's English.
But even his goal was, I mean,
out of this world.
Out of this world. Yeah. Fantastic. But the scenes around the fact that to lose La Liga at your rival's stadium and this one, I also love La Liga's broadcast because they're like in 4K, the cameras.
So there's stats everywhere. They have the depth of the
but they go into the crowd and they get to the happiest child seeing like, you know, his rival team at their worst moment. And the another moment that was Mbappe was out because he's injured. Mm-hmm. And but I don't know if we have this. I don't know if we can get this, Carter, but Mbappe posted a story, an Instagram story of like the game. He's obviously watching the game from home and it's like the picture of his TV and he shows the score and it's like 1-0 like to Barcelona.
Right.
Why can't you pick the 0-0? Like right. Pick a different photo.
I don't know if this has always been suspected, but have you ever seen the picture of like, this will happen a lot. It'll be like feet under like a pillow, under a cover. Like whether it's from bed or from like the chaise lounge and the screen, and it's like the player suggesting they're home watching the game. There's been rumors that it's like an assistant doing it. Is that possibly what happened? He was really with his girlfriend in Ibiza again?
Maybe, right?
So this is from the Touchline. It says, official, Real Madrid have now won 0 of a possible 6 domestic trophies since signing Kylian Mbappe. Barcelona have won 5. And Real Sociedad have won 1. An American manager.
Maybe they need Matarazzo to be the next manager of Real Madrid.
Hey, I mean, be worse. And you're watching.
Yeah, we're looking at this. Is and so he's the score is 1-0, right? Or 2-0? 2-0. He posts a 2-0 Instagram story.
100% is his house manager.
Well, you can't.
He at the club and he say, yo, just. Everything, why don't you take a quick picture?
Everything is going to be scrutinized for this club. Yeah. They all know that before they even sign there.
Yeah, man.
Why post? That's such a crazy thing to post. I mean,
and it's, by the way, it does say Real Madrid in a white heart, but
it's Hala Madrid, right?
Yeah,
Hala Madrid. That's right. I get, there's just missteps from every, like, if you're handling a, like, they need, all the players need, like, crisis management, like, people helping them. With every decision they make, but this season, I think highlights the and we've talked about this a whole bunch of times, even when we were talking about the Tchouaméni and Valverde stuff. Like this club has something I think fundamentally. It's not even about wrong or right because they have the trophies, they have a lot of success, but this club is going to consistently have these like. Issues from time to time. Like, so the best way I can describe it when you describe them like Barcelona and Real Madrid, I think Barcelona is a club and I think Real Madrid is a business. And they're in the business of bringing the best players, bringing the best coaches. When there's a, I had seen a clip recently of Gareth Bale talking about why they were so successful under Zidane. And when you hear some of the details of like, he says that they barely ever trained, that the training sessions were like 15 minutes, 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
That, and
he's like, trust your players to do it on game day.
And that the only time that they would ever actually train defensive tactics is when they were going up against Barcelona or it was Champions League. Outside of that, they were like, no, the job.
We didn't pay this much for y'all to train for Elche.
The Real Madrid manager, and this guy's Bale saying, like, the Real Madrid manager is to, their role is to manage egos. And sure, if that's, if like, And I, you know, I'm saying up top, I'm like, Real Madrid are the biggest. I think they're the biggest club in the world. When I see, when we go to Club World Cup matches and it is 90% white jerseys in the crowd. I mean, everywhere they go, they attract an audience, and they attract an audience because it is the circus. It is the superstars. It is Cirque du Soleil.
Right.
You know, you're going to get a good show, but the occasional, you know, sometimes businesses, any business, any corporation has some rot, has some issues that needs to be dealt with. And I think that's what we're kind of seeing. We're in the era of Real Madrid of just like the expectations are just as high as ever, but there is a rot that they can't exactly figure out. But when they figure it out, they're going to be dominant again.
But here's the thing. We sat through years of Barcelona pulling levers that don't exist.
Yeah.
To survive this, you know, financial, you know, collapse that they were in and still technically are in, and they're winning the league. They're fine. Players are getting played, you know, paid, you know.
I mean, they also have Messi there.
Sure. But this was post-Messi, saying. Like, you know, you had Laporte trying to figure out all these different machinations, and they sold the future of their digital, if any of that's real.
Sold
their digital rights for the next 25 years just to stay alive. Now they've got the new stadium and everything seems to be working out. They're winning the league. Real Madrid is going through this. A downturn for them is having Kylian Mbappe on the team. And now, you know what I mean? Not winning a trophy for the first time in a long time, not winning any trophies. Or a short run that's kind of not great. But it's still Real Madrid. Their trophy closet is bigger than most people's stadiums.
Well,
I mean, it's at the end of the day, like, I'm not that worried about Real Madrid because, you know, worse things have been said about, or this has been said about worse organizations, but they're almost too big to fail.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It means
La
too
Liga
much.
La Liga sees them as that, without a doubt.
And,
yeah.
And you need a strong Real Madrid, but you also need this drama. So to be honest with you, I'm not a Real Madrid hater. I'm also not a Real Madrid fan, but I've said this before. I can't. What is the joy of being a Real Madrid fan?
What
is it just winning or else it's the worst?
Right.
Like, you're an Everton fan. If Everton got into the Champions League, you'd be like, this was a great season.
About 1,000%.
I remember where I was when Jack Grealish had that assist that got us into Champions League. And there's things to build on.
Well, that's why even after like all the hate that Trent Alexander-Arnold was dealing with before, when, you know, all the rumors that he was going to leave and all this other stuff, and Liverpool fans not being very appreciative of him and saying a lot of negative things, the booing. Initially, I was like, man, that's messed up. Why would you do that? Like, he won you titles, won Champions League, why can't you show that appreciation? And now I kind of like, I'm like on their side a little bit. I'm like, why would he was at a club that he was beloved, and most players would say this, if Real Madrid calls, you gotta answer, and but do you?
They only call once. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Even though I kind of,
but you could say yeah because they're gonna pay me a lot of money. I can get that.
No, not even that. It's just that you get to say you played for Real Madrid.
And is that still have the same cachet?
Buddy, do it for 2 years and then get it the hell out of there. Because what is the point of being there for a long time? You know what I mean? It's just another one of these players that won them stuff. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, that's no different. To me, I'd rather. And you and I are, this is tough because you and I are very independent type people. You and I would rather start our own business than go work for Google. And I think a lot of people really see that, I don't care if I became a billionaire myself or I became a millionaire myself or I made a lot of money or I got my family out the hood or whatever.
Yeah.
I got to work for Google and that's on my resume. So I'm successful. Whereas you and I would rather have a little less money, but have our own business. Right. And I think that's the same thing with like the spirit of somebody that wants to play for Real Madrid is somebody who wants to be a part of the machine that feels that there's some type of accolade attached to themselves
or
validity attached to themselves, or they have some level of clout because I got to play for Real Madrid. And to some degree, that is a union that a lot of players will never be a part of.
Yeah.
No. You know what I mean?
I mean, when you think about the situation that they're in, who's to blame? To me, it's like it all starts at the top and with Florentino Perez. Like, if there is a, I think we think that that like owners and presidents of these that don't have as much influence as like we sort of think of like what happens day to day on the pitch. And really, I mean, you know, these people, they're involved in a lot of stuff, like in a lot of businesses and a lot of money. Like, it's about money. It's like, that's why Real Madrid always.
Yeah, but you need money to keep a club going at that level. You know
what
I mean?
At that level. Like, you have to be kind of cutthroat. You have to be slightly, at the very least, evil, mean. You have to be like really so focused
it's
on.
It's the same way the, and I'm not relating it to the mafia, but it's the same way the mafia does business, which is like, yeah, it's all fun and games until it becomes business, and then there's no, it's not personal. Like some people got to get got. You know what I mean? You're off the team. You've got to go. You've this. You have to be cutthroat is a good way to put it. You just have to be to keep this machine going. You know what I mean? There can't be a hiccup, and this season is a hiccup to them.
But given with Real Madrid, and you see their successful season, and it was like, you know, and Gareth Bale talking about how Zidane just managed egos and stuff like that. Like, it doesn't seem like there's anything, like, there's no identity, right? The identity is like
winning.
It's winning. Get the best players. Do what you got to do. Like, can we blame the coach? Can we blame Xabi Alonso? Can we blame... I mean, at some point, it's like, it doesn't even... It seems like do you need a coach, right? Like, they seem to be, you know, shepherds at most of just, like, corralling these great athletes to figure it out. Like, don't give them too much resistance. Don't
get in their way.
Don't get in their way.
Don't overmanage. Yeah.
So, that's why... When I think of football and I think of like, you know, I'm thinking of like total football and Cruyff and all that. And it's like, Real Madrid is like, no.
Whoa.
Hey, what's the best player on that team?
Yeah. Get him over. If I got 11 of the best players in the world, then I'll be fine.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say this, and this is going to piss off some people, and I really don't care. If Hearts wins the Scottish Premiership, that will mean more to people than if Real Madrid were to have won La Liga this season.
Of course.
It just, to me, that's more of what football is than, Real Madrid winning it again. And whatever, maybe you're a Real Madrid fan and maybe you just became a football fan and this season would have meant more to you. I don't care. But football needs Hearts to win more than it needs Real Madrid to win again.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's a better storyline, without a doubt. But then I would also put this out to Real Madrid fans. If you're listening, watching, like, is this what you want the club to be? Like, you don't want it to have any kind of identity, any sort of tactical acumen.
So you want Real Madrid fans to go, are we winning too much?
No. I'm just saying, like, there's a sort of, like, love of the game, like, the game itself, besides just bicycle kicks and Champions Leagues. Like, they have all the highlights. They have the moments. But the sort of top-down identity from the Barcelona, no matter who the manager is, we know how they play, right?
Although they changed it up a little bit, but
Hansi Flick and more of a high line and a couple sort of...
And it's more direct, but
But
you adapt.
But generally, Arsenal doesn't matter who the manager is, since Arsene Wenger has been there, that we know how they play.
How they want to play. Yeah.
Everton, regardless of who the manager is, we know how they play.
What a terrible option. But yes.
It is just deeply defensive. It is try to
even Manchester United has the Manchester United way.
I'm just saying, like, the fact that Real Madrid, do the fans kind of, would they love that or would they like that? Just as something to connect with besides just simply winning. Winning is lovely.
You're an Everton fan.
You're accusing me or what?
No. How dare you, first of all. No, you're an Everton fan. You've met Everton fans from all walks of life. What percentage of Everton fans do you think would still be fans of the club if they were to get relegated?
100.
100. Maybe. A couple fall off, a couple kids or whatever. Let's call it 80, 90, right? Let's call it 80%. Be honest with me. There's no way to know this for a fact. But what's your instinct on how many Real Madrid fans would be still Real Madrid fans if they were to get relegated?
I think what's a real number that I could...
35-40% that you're like dying the wool. Like,
no, no, they're way too invested. I think it'd be like, really? I think it'd be 60.
That's still
70. I mean, it'll be a big drop off because they have so many fans, but it'll be millions and millions of people that would be like, I can't with this club.
You could fill stadiums around the world with without the people a doubt. That would walk away from that club. And at the end of the day, that to me is why it's so difficult to kind of care about them losing. It's like, who cares? You guys, all you care about is winning.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's an insatiable lust to win every year because God forbid the group chat turns on you. God forbid you have to answer to a Barcelona fan. And then if you're a Barcelona fan, I'm going to say this about you when you start sucking.
But at the very least, like, at least Barcelona are like, they've had years where they kind of struggle. They can't, they're not doing well. You know, they're not a guarantee like getting to the Champions League final or anything like that. Like, they're still like a club that.
And I'm saying this as a Yankee fan. Real Madrid are basically the evil empire of football.
Yeah. Which is like, you understand that maybe that is a necessity. But when I hear stuff from players being like, we only train for 15 minutes. I'm like, okay, so there's nothing here. There's just like, yo, y'all good. Do what you got to do.
You're bigger,
like,
faster, stronger,
I
just
think,
smarter.
I think that's anti-football. Like, there's no philosophy. There's not something that you're truly trying to like sort of impart into like the players so that they even grow as people. Maybe this is why not many Real Madrid like players become coaches or coach other clubs, or I don't know.
How are you supposed to go? I don't
there's
know.
No coach, right?
You want me to be there during the week?
Right, like we know.
I show up for the games, baby.
La Masia, we know the development, and we know there's so much history there and so much culture. And if the culture is simply just like being of just success, then that's not really anything. That's not really any kind of identity. That means that you'll do whatever it takes to win.
Right.
And it's like, okay, I mean, meaning spend the most money, bring in the biggest player. And then, but we're just in a scenario right now where they brought Kylian Mbappe being like, all right, let's keep racking up these trophies. And it's like, oh, wait, this ain't working exactly the way we want. And they might need
but this
some.
This is like asking a rapper in the peak of their career, like, but what's really in your heart? It's like, well, what's in my heart is spending money right now, bro.
Sure, I got it. But this is what it is. So you're just going to have a lot of like Ramage fans complaining.
Here's the thing, though. I kind of agree with you. I like the romanticization. Yes, that one. Mm-hmm. Of the sport. And I like having an ideal that you're shooting for. The idea of total football, it's a lot like a comedian, like, you know, there's a bunch of comics, like Colin Quinn is one who's like always searching for the best to write the perfect joke. And you know it'll never happen, but every time you get a little bit closer, there's something exciting about that. Real Madrid doesn't have that. There's no romanticism around it. It's win or you all go.
Right. And then you got to be a goddamn sad Trent Alexander-Arnold on the pitch all day.
Yeah.
So they looked awful.
That man learned Spanish from you, bro.
These are the most recent reports that Jose Mourinho might end up becoming the manager again at Real Madrid. Is this something he can fix? I can't
think of anyone else.
To yell at a couple, you know, guys in their 20s, Mourinho, I think, could do this. I mean,
yeah, he does that for fun. he does it whether you pay him or not. Jose Mourinho, what's difficult is, though, he's already been there. You know what I mean? And there is a sense of like maybe you can't really go back home. You know what I mean? Maybe this is tough. But at the end of the day, I can't think of anyone. Who else could walk into that room besides maybe a Zidane and immediately be the alpha in Real Madrid? None of those players have won. Well, I guess that's not true because he didn't win a Champions League there, and Vinny did. But still, I mean, he's Jose Mourinho. You know what I mean? He's the special one. He's the one that kind of, you walk in the room and everyone hushes if you're Jose Mourinho. I don't know very many other people. Zidane might be able to do that, but like Henri has probably the aura, but he never played it. He played for Barca, so he's not someone that can go in there. Johan Cruyff ain't around no more. Mm-hmm. Like, who could? In the world of football, who could? Carlo Ancelotti's not going to go back.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's seemingly you're not looking for a great tactical mind.
Xavi Alonso was like, oh, y'all don't even need me here, bro.
That's probably why these coaches don't really even stick around, because there's not much they can even do. They can't even grow as coaches, because it's like dealing with high schoolers that and attitudes and all this other stuff. So maybe it's not necessarily a fun job.
It's like the last week of senior year for Real Madrid players. Like, no one's paying attention.
A fan of any club, I couldn't be a fan in that way of supporting like this nonsense. Not the nonsense, the drama, sure, but just the like, I want to watch a team and not solely focus on that they need to win.
But if you add Jose Mourinho to that, aren't you kind of showing up for the drama?
Without a doubt. But
so then
it's probably good for business.
Yeah. So a lot of this, whatever the saga that's happening now, is just that there's no, you're bad at marketing it. You know what I mean? There's no figurehead. Jose Mourinho would turn this into cinema.
Yeah. So we'll see if it's a distraction or not. You know, we had seen the Fabrizio Romano tweet, like, it's up to Florentino Perez right now. And
why are you saying it like a Brit?
You say it sounds like, because I'm just saying it fast.
I know.
Perez. What am I saying?
Or just Perez. Perez. Oh. You're letting them win, bro. Okay. Don't let
I'm
them win.
Like Marcus Rashford. Right
You're gonna call him Martinez next, dog. Don't let them win. Dog.
There's worse. There's a worse one. Yeah. Anyway, we'll see. Getting Mourinho there. In my opinion, I think changes nothing. I think they still have the same problem.
Do they win with Jose Mourinho?
No, I don't think so.
I think they do. You know why? Can I just say? He will tell Vinny, you're not number one here. Mbappe is. Everything goes through him.
But yet they win more with when Vinny
I get it.
Is,
when I Mbappe get it. Not playing. But also, if he does that in Mbappe and they're not winning, he tells Mbappe, I take it back. You ain't number one here.
Rewind. Yeah.
Everyone forget what just happened. I honestly think he doesn't. He's the top dog. He doesn't. There's no fear in his heart about sitting somebody.
They're running out of people to manage this club.
Who else is there?
You're saying they're running out. After Mourinho, who's after Mourinho? Now who's next in line?
AI. Claudebot is going to have to manage his team.
All right, let's wrap up there, everybody. Shout out to Landon Donovan for joining us. What a fun. He was fun.
He was. He was having a good time now that he's
He joked about like being low energy and stuff like that. But I actually thought out of all the interviews we've kind of done with him.
He said that I think he heard us say it.
Maybe he's listening to the jail a little bit. But I actually think he brought a different positivity than he usually brings to most interviews.
And how can we get an espresso keg in this studio?
We gotta work on that.
But just hold it over my head and
shout out to Landon. He will be covering the he'll be one of the announcer duos on Fox for the World Cup. So we'll
and we joked about the piece. Get a different piece up there every game. Get a mohawk for one.
Just like, look, some blue hair, blue hair liberal for one game.
Look like a barista in Bushwick, bro.
Have a good time. You know, mix it up. but shout out to him. As always, make sure you follow us on all socials at Soccer Cooligans. If you have not yet, hit like and subscribe on YouTube.
Hype. Give us a hype, dude. You found it?
I found the hype button. Let's go.
On Mother's Day weekend.
Okay. What a strange way to say that. Anyway. Yeah. but also a reminder, join the Patreon. We have an extended episode that we do every week. So you get one extra podcast.
Right after we finish this. We keep going, baby.
We keep going. So if you want more Cooligans, it's usually not about soccer. We don't talk about soccer at all. It's a comedy podcast. It's always a lot of fun. So join patreon.com/soccercooligans if you want to get in on that. And then I don't even know what day of the week. Today's Monday. Yes. We'll be back on Thursday with a brand new episode and a very special guest.
probably the biggest guest you could possibly get in American soccer.
Exactly. So
hit the bell. If you haven't hit the little bell, do that right now. That's probably the perfect time. Go to YouTube, hit the little bell so you can find out. Be the first to see this absolutely insane interview. I never thought this person would be on our show because we've been pretty critical.
Yeah, they've also said no quite a bit.
Yeah. And they also said no after this, actually.
You know, things change. All right. Yeah. So we'll be back on Thursday. Brand new episode. World Cup is, 30 days away? It's getting close, man. So be on the lookout. We're going to be doing a lot of stuff.
My glute hurts.
for the World Cup. Stick with the Cooligans. We'll see you on Thursday, everybody. Peace.